to quote Alvin DeLauro.
You're on.
Dude.
Yes, I am. What's going on? I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California. Program brought to you today by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, what a beautiful day it is in L.A. Did you see that? At the beach, sun is out, summertime, good times. All right, Adam Jones coming up at 40 past, so we're open between now and then, 1-800-636-8686. Go ahead, take advantage of that. If you're joining us late, we've already covered Kevin Durant and the latest there. My thoughts, I shared it with you. On top of that, I'm still trying to get to the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka is getting nice. Man, I like this guy more and more every single day. And he is running on some high premium fuel still yet. There was a promo of the event that did not include him. Why would you want to include Brooks Koepka in a U.S. Open promo? What's he ever done around there? So he took note. That worked its way back to him. He is a major fuel guy. You knew it would. We talked about that. We had Kamar Rocker on. He's a pitcher for Vanderbilt. He threw a no-hitter, and he struck out 19 guys. Harrison Smith came on last hour. We talked about the Smack-Off. It's another kind of silver anniversary, but not the kind of anniversary you want to celebrate. But that hasn't stopped you, clones. But I gave you what you want. 25 years ago now, Oge went Oge. We're done with that. We covered it. Uriah Faber did a great interview for the Jim Rome podcast. I've been trying to get to that. It's live. Listen to it after the show. Now, there are a lot of things that happen in sports and pop culture both, where I know that you're waiting for me to give you my take. You know, when I did my keynote speech at the Talkers 2019 convention, one of the topics of that speech is, how do you inform the informed? You know, it's like back in the day, before there was social media, before there was an internet, before information traveled as quickly as it did, you really had to wait for people like me to give you my thoughts. Now it's all right there. You can get it as quickly as you want. I would still argue that if you want to be fully informed, you need my take. You need my thoughts. So I think when something happens in sports or pop culture that's really big and really transcendent, this is why you come here. In fact, this is kind of the premise of the show, right? I can give you something that you can't get anywhere else. You want my point of view. Point of views are not for sale. You can't just buy them. So I know this. I know this, and I know this about you. You want my take on the really big things in sports and pop culture. All right? That said, this is also a big, big soccer house. You know that too. I want you, or I know you, all desperately want me to talk about what went down yesterday in World Cup group play. I know you need it. I know you want it. I know you've been waiting for 2 hours for me to talk about that 13-0 historical wax job that the U.S. women put on Thailand yesterday. You've been waiting on that, haven't you? Good news is, you no longer have to wait. Here it is. I will talk about that. I want to talk about that. In fact, I could not wait for the alarm to go off this morning so I could roll out of the rack, crack open the mic, just to talk about that. For those of you who missed it, the defending World Cup champion U.S. Women's National Team beat the living hell out of Thailand yesterday. 13-0. No, I did not misspeak. No, that is not an error. No, that is not an Onion headline. That is not a joke. The baddest soccer players on the planet straight murdered Thailand by a score of 13-0. Alex Morgan went off. She scored 5 of the 13 goals. Now, if 13-0 sounds ludicrous and unheard of, it's because it is. It had never been done before until now, until the U.S. put their cleats on Thailand's throats and did not let up until stoppage time was over in the 93rd minute. Whistle, game, history, funeral. Thanks for coming. We're on to Chile Sunday. Except not so fast. Apparently we are not onto Chile Sunday. Not so fast, U.S. Women's National Team. Talking head, hot take, outrage nation would like to have a word with you first about sportsmanship. It seems scoring 13 goals on a bad team while having a really good time doing it is not sitting well with everybody. I'll get to my take on that in a moment, but first, let's go north of the border to Canada and check in with the four-person panel on TSN. It's comprised of Kate Burness, Claire Rustad, Kaylin Kyle, and Diane Matheson. Their unanimous outrage is almost as mind-blowing as a 13-0 beatdown in World Cup play. Check this out.
If you were going to blow away a team, do it with humility. And they did not. Megan Rapinoe has scored countless goals on the international stage. She was celebrating like she had her first. We can understand if it was a first goal, like a Mallory Pugh, but when you're Alex Morgan, too, and you're counting out your goals, it was just unacceptable.
Well, I understand there's a goal differential race in this tournament. I understand they're nervous about drawing Sweden later in the tournament, but this was disgraceful from the United States. I would have hoped they could have won with humility and grace, but celebrating goals 8, 9, 10 the way they were doing is really unnecessary.
I'm all about passion, and I think as a Canadian, we would just never, ever think of doing something like that. We played against the Americans before where you have a player of Christine Sinclair scoring 3 goals and she would never even think about counting how many goals she has on one hand. For me, it's disrespectful. It's disgraceful. I just, hats off to Thailand for holding their head high. I mean, their first time on a World Cup stage. I'd love to be there to just hug them all.
Yeah, the U.S. is fully capable of blowing out teams. And, of course, in the World Cup, you're not going to hold back. And maybe they have an internal target they want to meet or trying to break the record. But, I mean, it embarrasses the word for Jill Ellis, I think, the way she was leading her team in this one.
Damn, Canada. Check out the Royal Mounted Fun Police way up there on their high horses. Hey, if you're scoring at home, did you jot down any of those words? Quote, unacceptable. Disgraceful, unnecessary, disrespectful, disgraceful again, and embarrassing. All of those adjectives, strong adjectives, in about 90 seconds time.
It was just unacceptable.
This was disgraceful from the United States. Really unnecessary.
It's disrespectful. It's disgraceful.
Embarrassed is the word for Jill Ellis, I think, the way she was leading her team in this one.
I don't know. I mean, agree to really disagree here? We're talking about the freaking World Cup. I guess I'm going to have to educate y'all in soccer again. We're talking about the World Cup, not some AYSO jamboree. There aren't parent tunnels. There aren't orange slices out here. There's no Capri Sun, no matter how badly you want it. This is the highest level of international competition. It comes around once every 4 years. It is really hard to find the back of the net, no matter when and where you play. There is no mercy rule. I guess you could argue that you should throttle down. I suppose, maybe, not really. Understand this, too. Best believe this, Canada and anybody else who wants to take exception to what I'm about to say. If the U.S. women were on the other side of that 13-0 2x4, I would say the same thing. And as for them celebrating after scoring goals, as for Alex Morgan counting out her goals, I've got no issue with this. Play the damn air guitar on your leg if you want to. Go all Brandy Chastain if you need to. I really don't care. Nothing's promised in sports. You know, were they showing them up? Were they disrespecting the game? I think they're having a little fun. They were showing a little bit of emotion. Like I said, you never know when you're going to find the back of the net, especially in the World Cup. And a lot of them only got on the pitch because of that blowout. They may not get that opportunity again. So they were able to not only score, but to score on a big stage. And you don't want somebody to celebrate that. You don't want them to show any emotion. You don't want them to style that goal. No, I think I like what Heather O'Reilly had to say. She played for the U.S. Women's National Team back before. She said there's no better way to show respect to another team than to keep playing your hardest. Damn straight. It's like football. Taking a knee on somebody late is more humiliating than punching it in one more time. I mean that. Taking a knee on somebody, to me, is more degrading than lining it up and finishing the game and playing it. I'm pretty sure Thailand would rather have any team play a full 90 minutes against them than back off and start doling out sympathy hugs, as Kaylin Kyle suggested.
Hats off to Thailand for holding their head high. I mean, their first time on a World Cup stage. I'd love to be there to just hug them all.
You tell me what's more degrading. You tell me what's more humiliating. The U.S. national team playing the game hard until the end, or the U.S. national team and their coach coming over to give them hugs. Like they're 8-year-olds. It's the World Cup, not the World Hug. The U.S. women's team is the best squad on the planet. They did something yesterday that had never been done before. And so far, from what I've gathered today, they're not apologizing for it. And nor should they. They don't have to stop playing. They don't have to give out hugs. And they don't have to listen to any of this either. It's not their fault they're awesome. And the opposition wasn't. I'm not going to put all this on Canada, but that broadcast did originate there. I tell you what, why don't you worry about your group stage, and we'll worry about ours. And if this comes back to bite the U.S. team in the ass, we will own that too. Just hope that you don't meet us along the way. Because the last time the U.S. and Canada went at it, we bageled you in the CONCACAF Cup final. And from the looks of things, the way they're playing, and from what you're saying, I would not be surprised if we're here to do that again, not to hug it out. Notice that whenever these border skirmishes start, I'm usually trying to moderate the entire thing and officiate and not take a side. I'm very good about that. However, when you come flying in here with words like embarrassing, disgraceful, I got to say something. I mean, it is athletic competition at the very highest level. And I have to say something else. Man, it feels good to be a soccer authority. I just love the beautiful game. Always have, always will.
It was just unacceptable. This was disgraceful from the United States. Really unnecessary.
It's disrespectful. It's disgraceful.
Embarrassed is the word for Jill Ellis, I think, the way she was leading her team in this one.
Wow. Bitter much? Take it easy.
World Cup.
All right, when we come back, your thoughts on that if you want to. My thoughts on Brooks Koepka and the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Adam Jones joining me at 40 past. Are you finding it tougher and tougher to get to the grocery store? Let Walmart do it for you. Just make your list, set a time for free pickup or delivery, then go about your day. Walmart associates will pick the best items for you, including fresh produce. They will get it ready. It's quick. It's easy. It's convenient. Satisfaction is guaranteed, or you do get your money back. Just download the Walmart grocery app and get started. Make sure you use my code, WOWFRESH. That'll get you $10 off your first order. It's only a $50 minimum purchase. It does not expire until December 31st, 2019. A small fee does apply. Once again, download the Walmart grocery app. Use my code, WOWFRESH, and get $10 off.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Quickly, some Twitter feedback. 734 tweets. The Americans shouldn't celebrate soccer goals like that. Sign Canadians who cheered Katie's injury. A number of you have tried to make that point. But wait a minute. Those four are killing us for a lack of class when there were Raptor fans cheering Katie, who was lying motionless on the court. I'm not sure I'd go that far, but I kind of see it working. Night School Rick tweets, One thing is for sure, Kate Burness and the team run better smack than Tyler and Matt.
It was just unacceptable.
This was disgraceful from the United States. Really unnecessary.
It's disrespectful. It's disgraceful.
Embarrassed is the word for Jill Ellis, I think, the way she was leading her team in this one.
Man, they took great offense to that, didn't they? They were really offended. Embarrassing. Disgraceful. Charger fan Dan tweets, Rome, Thailand should just be glad I wasn't playing because I had started beating people up after the game. Signed, Hope Solo.
Hope Solo is going so fucking beating people up, and we need help.
That is one of the most amazing lines I've ever heard. First of all, he name checks her. Name checks her. Full name. Hope Solo is going psychotic. It's not, we have a problem here, someone's out of control. It's Hope Solo is going psychotic, which is an incredible explanation. Hope Solo is going psychotic. She's beating people up.
Hope Solo is going psychotic. She's beating people up.
Check that. Let me correct myself. I was wrong. Hope Solo is going psychotic. She's bleeping beating people up.
And we need help.
I mean, that sounds like an axe murderer got into the house. 911. It's horrible. There's an axe murderer here. He's going psychotic. Bleeping psychotic. No, psychotic and bleeping, hacking people up. We need help. I've got a whole backlog and catalog of 911 calls. I'm not sure there's one better than that. Charger fan Dan, reset that. Hey, if they want to get outraged about something, that's something to get outraged about. Not the ladies pouring it on and going up 13-0 and counting their goals and celebrating some late goals. All right, so I just profiled this guy, Mark in Boston. I also mentioned that he's been calling quite a bit leading up to the event, which I respect. He's back for more. Mark, how are you?
Hey, Jim, man. Thank you so much for the Smack Off profile. It's actually not why I'm calling. I'm calling for the Slash Off. The day we celebrate a clueless psycho that worked in Buffalo. Not you, Rick. Well, maybe you. Hey, Jim, you know one of the best things about being a Smack Off caller is that when you call, you go to the front of the line. You don't have to wait or on hold. 25 years of the Smack Off. I didn't know back when JT the Brick won it if it had the juice to survive, but I feel like it's been on air as long as The Simpsons. Now, just a memo to you Goldman ticket winners, you're going to have to stick your neck out there and risk the blades of the smacky chopper. Otherwise, you may not survive. And if you do call, you got to call hour number one or you might bleed out on hold. I better get out before I get Ron. Knife radio.
All right, Mark, see you on the 21st. Alvy, there were at least 10 dings in there that you missed for his slash off call. All right, that's Mark in Boston. 1-800-636. 8-6-8-6. 9 days till the big event. Dear Rome, when you're playing for high stakes and kicking your opponent's ass, you break your opponent's will and drive, and you don't let up. Then after the final whistle, you rub their nose in that filthy mess that they just left on the field. Those hens from TSN are embarrassing us. We attack, attack, attack around here. Matt in Vancouver. All right, then. Matt in Vancouver said, hey, man, that's not us. Those hens are embarrassing us. Attack, attack, attack. So we know Matty's mindset coming into the 21st. Matt and Van, Tyler in Shredmonton. All right, so we're less than 24 hours out. quickly, let me get to this. From the start of the U.S. Open, 6:45 a.m. tomorrow, the first group will go off, but that does not mean that we have to wait for the first shots of the tournament to be fired. Far from it. Brooks Koepka met with the media yesterday. Some of his answers were verbal 400-yard bombs off the tee. For example, there's the fact that Koepka is looking to become the first player since Willie Anderson to win back-to-back U.S. Opens. So, what does he know about Willie Anderson? About the same amount as you and I know about Willie Anderson.
It's funny, we were in Scotland, I think, last year, and we saw his name on a building, I guess, where he used to live or something like that, which is pretty cool. But I don't know too much about him. Obviously, that was a long, long time ago. What was it, 100 years? 100 and some years?
Hey, Willie, tell Brooks how his ass tastes. Have some, old man. You just got worked. What was that? 100 years ago? 100 and some years ago? Pretty much. Now, that's not to slight the history of golf. But why would anybody spend any time thinking about running down Willie Anderson? I mean, no disrespect to a guy who apparently was pretty good at golf. But Willie last won a U.S. Open in 05. I'm going to go ahead and say that the game was a little bit different back then. Did he putt out on 18 and then ride a horse to the train station? Also, you never want to compare eras, but my man Willie Anderson won his first U.S. Open, and he shot four straight rounds in the 80s. No way Koepka is going to do that, no matter how tall that rough is. Speaking of the rough, if you want to complain about the course, you can keep right on walking right past Koepka. He's not here for it. He's not going to hear it.
Everybody's got to play the same golf course, so it really doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. If you put it in the fairway and you hit every green, there's really no problem, is there?
Hell no. If I were to read between the lines, I would say he's saying that if you're complaining about the rough, you're just not good enough. In fact, I don't have to read between the lines because that's exactly what he chased that with.
So obviously they're not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, they're not playing good enough.
Boom. Roasted. You're not good enough. You've got complaints about the golf course. You've got to complain about your game. Or you've got to complain about the course. He's got to complain about your attitude.
I've just been never one to complain, make excuses. It doesn't matter. Nobody wants to hear anybody's excuse. I find it annoying even when I play with guys and they're, dropping clubs or, throwing them or complaining. And I'm like, God. Telling me how bad the golf course is or how bad this is. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It's just something we've all got to deal with. And if you play good enough, you shouldn't have a problem.
Man, this dude's the best. I love that. I love that he's just rolling into a Tuesday media availability and laying it down like that. He's not throwing out a bunch of golf jargon, the middle-aged dads, or people like Hawk and Chael Jr., repeat to their boys to make it sound cool. He's just laying it out there like it is. The course is hard. Play better. And then there's this other topic, the promos for the U.S. Open and the fact that he got left out of one of them. Brooks Koepka, number one player in the world, two-time defending U.S. Open champ, somehow left out of one of the U.S. Open promos. He knows about that as well.
I actually didn't see it for a long time. I a bunch of people on Twitter, I think, tagged me in it, in the promo, and I guess we're amazed that I wasn't in it. So then I just clicked on the link and saw it and watched it, and just kind of shocked. They've had over a year to kind of put it out. So I don't know. I don't know. Somebody probably got fired over it or should.
It's amazing. Yeah, like somebody in the edit bay is trolling him right now, right? I mean, Brooks Koepka is a fuel guy. He's not just a fuel guy. He's practically the fuel guy. Eventually, all this stuff works its way back to him, and it gets turned into super premium unleaded or rocket fuel. There's a pattern here. He gets overlooked. He's got chip on his shoulder. He wins. He gets overlooked. He's got chip on his shoulder. He wins. Wash, rinse, repeat. And yeah, I know. He's included in three of the four promos. But how is the number one golfer in the world and the two-time defending champ not included in every single promo? Is winning the last two U.S. Opens and the last two PGA Championships and being number one in the world not enough to get in a promo? It's got to be somebody who's looking to put gas in this guy's tank. There's no way that's an accident at this point. And yet, it almost doesn't seem like an accident. Because for all the talk about Tiger returning to Pebble, Phil trying again to finish off that career Grand Slam, it somehow does feel like Brooks is going under the radar. And that's pretty amazing on so many levels. Not that he needed any more fuel, but now he has it. And he's coming for you, Willie Anderson, you bum ass. Look the hell out. Willie freaking Anderson. Hey, last thought really quickly. How good is Koepka? He's trying to do something an early 20th century golfer named Willie Anderson has done. I mean, most of you listening don't even remember a man with Flipper attached to that name, or a former Spurs swingman named Willie Anderson, let alone a dude who went back-to-back-to-back at the U.S. Open in 03 to 05. This guy's good now. Koepka is good. Koepka is special. They're comparing him to Willie Anderson circa 05. Come get some. When we come back, one last segment, Adam Jones, D-backs outfielder, joins me. That's next. First, here is your sports update. We are efforting Adam Jones. Meantime, time to answer your ATP question. Ask the pros. You know, you submit it, I answer it. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, for all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim, the U.S. Open is this week at Pebble Beach. I live in San Diego, but I'll be the first to admit that Monterey is the most beautiful place in all of California. I know you got started down here in San Diego. I know you were married in Napa. What is your favorite town to vacation in the state of Cali? George and Escondido. That's a great question. All right, so you have America's finest city, San Diego, where I lived and where I worked. It does not get any better than that. I love the desert. All things desert. Palm Desert, Palm Springs, La Quinta. Love it down there. Love the Bay Area. Love San Francisco. Love Napa. I mean, there's so many great towns in Cali. If I have to pick one, though, I grew up in Los Angeles. I live south of LA now. If I had to pick one town, though, in California to vacation, my favorite spot, where it all started, man, Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is an unbelievable town. That's where I went to college. That's where I got my start in radio. Beautiful place. If I'm picking one vacation spot, Santa Barbara. But San Diego works. Laguna Beach works. Newport Beach works. Baco. Central Cali. 909. Speaking of Cali, this guy knows. He is a right fielder for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is a five-time All-Star. He is a four-time Gold Glove winner. He is a Silver Slugger. He won a gold medal with Team USA at the World Baseball Classic. Another big year this year. He's hitting 275, 12 home runs, 37 runs batted in, 34 runs. Arizona is at Philadelphia this evening. Adam Jones is my guest. Adam, it has been a long time since you and I spoke. How you doing, man? How's life?
Oh, man. When I got your request, I was like, oh, I got to talk to Rome. It's been some years, brother. How you
been? My man. So good. I'm really good. It's really good to hear your voice. How are things for you?
Hey, it's been amazing. I got a job, so I can't be mad. Still fortunate enough to play Major League Baseball and with a great group of guys over here in Arizona and trying to grind to, you know, get to this postseason just like everybody else.
All right, so I know you want to be there, and I want to get into the Diamondbacks in 1 minute, but, you know, I read that part of your resume off the very top. Again, you're putting up big numbers. I would argue that putting up numbers and being a leader was never going to be in doubt for you. Is there any part of you, however, that wants to say to all the teams that could have signed you, Adam, how do you like me now? This is what I was trying to say.
In a way, I think everybody obviously is going to look at it like that no matter what, but to me, I'm just out here doing what I just normally do. I believe that if I'm healthy, I'm going to get in that batter's box instead of, you know, stepping on this field and contribute in some sort of way. which I have done for the last 12 years. So I'm just trying to grind it out, really. I'm not trying to say, you know, stick it to nobody or this is, you know, whatever to you. I'm just worried about myself and trying to be the best teammate I can be and playing the game. And, you know, at the end of the day, I always said, I'm going to get mine at some way, somehow. So just got to stay healthy and get in that box and produce. So it's not an animosity thing towards anybody because that's just bad energy that I don't need. And I don't need to carry that kind of stuff in my heart.
It's bad. That's bad juju. Diamondbacks right fielder Adam Jones joining us. I get that. Niatori Lovello on the program earlier this year. We talked about how much he appreciates you. What's it been like to play for Torrey?
It's been amazing. I appreciate him too. I mean, obviously he's different than Buck, you know, but he uses his coaches like Buck. He's very player oriented. He wants to know what's going on. How you doing? How you feeling? How's the body? They're big into, you know, giving you guys rest, and you know, it's been like uncomfortably cool because obviously I don't ever want a day off. But you know, when you get it and you realize that, you know, you're fresher the next day, or you might get in the game in the late because there's no such thing as a day off in the National League. So, but you just feel a little bit fresher, and I found that out so far. And you know, I feel really good. My body feels good. And you know, I think I owe that to Torrey and the training staff and the coaches for, you know, trying to just structure the workload at early in the season, because once the second half of the season starts, August, September, it's go time because, you know, games are very, very important.
We're talking to Adam Jones, Arizona Diamondbacks right fielder, is joining us. And Adam, last season was a challenging year in that you were playing for a team that won only 47 games and finished 61 out. I just bring it up because as a competitor, what was that entire experience like for you?
As a competitor, everybody on that team will tell you it was a challenge every single day. But I've always said this, and I've been adamant about it, that it was unreal and awesome going to work every day with those guys, though. It just sucked at the end of the day. The result was never in our favor. But it didn't make, like, going to the ballpark every day was awesome for me. But it's just the result just sucked on a nightly basis. But it wasn't for a lack of effort. It just nothing worked out. And, you know, I loved all the guys. I mean, like I said, it was great going to work with those guys. Just nothing worked out. nothing worked out. We just had collectively, you know, because it's a team game. It doesn't matter what individuals do as a team game. You know, not many people had a good year on the team. And It wasn't from a lack of effort. It was just, I can't point a finger on it. I don't think anybody can point a finger on what happened. It's just, we just weren't that good. But it wasn't from a lack of effort, and the guys were tremendous.
It's just one of those years. Adam Jones joining us. Now, you recently run CC Sabathia's podcast, and you've been at this thing a long time. He's been at this thing a long time. You've gone up against him for years. You have 108 plate appearances against him. What's it been like to face him over the course of your career?
I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure, obviously, because I played against him, known about him since I was in high school. And, you know, being able to play against him, he's a future Hall of Famer. It's just humbling the fact that, you know, we're each other's most competed on duo. Like, I've faced him the most and he's faced me the most. So, like, that's like really, really cool to me because, you know, there's a lot of guys that have faced him a lot. There's a lot of guys that he has history with, and he's been around a long, long time. So it's just been awesome. It's been great to see, obviously, the transformation. I remember, like, you know, when his knees started bothering him at 15 and, you know, everybody started to write him off and all that stuff, and he signed another extension and still, you know, still a sub 4 ERA. And, you know, he went from playing checkers and when he was 95 to 98 to playing chess, because right now he's, you know, 88 to 91. You know, he can hump up and get 92, 93 every once in a while. He knows that, but now he's playing chess and, you know, he's still doing really well. You know, when that knee ain't barking, he's still out there giving quality innings for the Yankees. So it's just amazing to see the transformation, because a lot of people, especially power pitchers, it's real hard for power pitchers to make that transformation into finesse, and he's made it really well.
Adam Jones is joining us. You mentioned high school. Now, there's this great story from back in the day when you were growing up in San Diego. A white Porsche pulls up alongside. What do you remember about that, and what was your reaction when you saw the car and who was in it?
Well, I mean, it was a white Porsche in the hood of San Diego. You know, only two kind of people drive a white Porsche in the hood of San Diego. So when TG got out of that car, we sat on the hood. We were playing a game. And everybody just stopped a little bit, just turned and started looking back. And then you just hear the whispers and the rumblings in the dugout, like, hey, who's that? Is that Tony Quinn? Is that TG? Is that TG out there, man? And, you know, we all just, it seemed like everybody hit a switch and just started playing that much harder for Tony. And, you know, I think that's the day, not just for me, the team that we were playing, my teammates, the families that were there. It wasn't just my experience of it. It was probably 70, 80 people's experience. It's just, you know, obviously I've got to know them the best out of those folks. But it was just once in a lifetime thing that, you know, I'm Tony Gwynn's first recruit ever for San Diego State, and that's something that will always be with me.
What was that like, Adam?
Amazing. I mean, him talking, me being able to talk to him, him telling me, you know, these are what things you can improve, things that he could help me with. And it's Tony Gwynn. I watched him, you know, once ever. So the second I started watching baseball, you know, Tony Gwynn is Mr. San Diego. And, you know, obviously getting to know him past getting drafted, I just obviously didn't go to college, but getting to know him until he passed. Every offseason I hit with him at San Diego State, and every offseason he gave me that much more information. And I think that's what's helped me sustain being here going into my 13th year now. He's, you know, just the advice from good people that I've had in my corner when it came to the sport. So, and he's one of the biggest vital guys in that. Him and Mark McElmoy, the two guys that have basically mapped out how the career goes. So I'm indebted to those guys.
So Adam, finally, in terms of how the career goes, I mean, you're in this thing for a long time, 13 years, 14 years. The number of guys who make it to the majors is tiny. The number of guys who play as long as you have is infinitesimal. As somebody who loves the history of the game, how much pride is there for you in how long you've played and the fact that you're still playing at a really high level?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I did an interview with Hazel May the other day, and they said, I think one thing that's helped me is, helped a lot of guys too, is when you wake up in the morning, you realize you're a major leaguer. Obviously, you've seen in the last few years that, you know, with options going up and down, there's a lot of people making their debuts, but get 50 at bats, get sitting down and back and forth. But being able to just stay here, sustain being here for this long is attests to a bunch of things. First off, it's health. You know, I've been blessed to be a pretty healthy guy throughout my career, and I've had two people, my strength trainer in San Diego and my massage therapist. Those two, the last decade, have put their hands on my body and hurt my body, but has made me able to go out on this field. So them, the training staff throughout the years, it's a culmination of things. But every day I wake up like, hey, I'm a major league player, and I have a major league mindset. And I think that has helped me just be here, and it's a humbling experience. And it's great to be able to pass along information to these young guys. Obviously, I know I'm only 33. Okay, Jason Wirtz got a 7-year contract at 32. But, I'm looked at as one of the older guys, but it's great to be able to pass information. And, you know, just seeing Vladdy Guerrero Jr., I played with his dad, against his dad, robbed home runs from his dad. Like, and now he's in the big league. So it's just to see the turnover, that's the – CC told me that. That's the crazy part when you feel like, dang, I have been here a long time.
That is life, man. That is strange. I go through that every single day hosting this show now, Adam. But it's about time you and I came together. I'm so glad you came back on. Great to get caught up, man. Thank you so much, Adam. Great talking to you. Adam Jones, Smack Off 25, proudly presented by my pals at Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats giving every Smack Off caller that makes it on air $5 or $50 towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. I can't tell you who's going to win the Smack Off, but I can guarantee a first-class experience with Vivid Seats because they back up every single purchase with a 100% buyer guarantee. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit VividSeats.com. My thanks to Adam Jones, all of our guests. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. We are out.